What's going on, people? My name is David. I am an addict and an alcoholic. And I'm also the host of The Most High Show. Now, I'm not expecting everybody that's tuning in to know what The Most High Show is, so let me explain it, all right? The Most High Show is a gathering of people that gets together and talks about real life, true stories, and their journey in sobriety and recovery, and their struggles and addiction and all that kind of stuff. But ultimately, I think our purpose is to end the stigma of addiction and end the stigma of God, okay? You know, and then all of us here, I can say we are trying our best to let God's will happen in our life, and hopefully it comes through in our message. But forgive us if our own biases and opinions kind of interfere. We are not doing that on purpose, folks. It's going to be me and my brother, Reverend Christian Jansen. We're going to do what we call like an in-house deal. And my brother and co-producer Jeff is going to give you the intro right now. Thank you.
Welcome to The Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and all that. Produced, posted, and hosted by people in recovery who have strength and hope and want to share it with you. If you or someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is The Most High Show.
Awesome, cool stuff that you just saw, and like this cool ass studio that we're sitting in is all created by my cool ass
drunk uncle.
My cool ass bro. The Reverend Christian Jansen. Again, like I said earlier, we're calling this in-house thing. Unfortunately, a guest had to cancel. So it's just me and the Reverend getting down and talking about funky stuff. Hopefully it's helpful to whoever's listening, and we give you guys some insight on, you know, how we do it and what we think.
The bun, the bun's pretty high in the scalp.
I know. Am I missing it? Is it going over there? Had a rough time before I got here, dude.
Did you take the bun down to change the tire?
No, but it, like, you know, if I'm moving around too much and I'm straining, it just gets longer.
You're straining? You're straining what?
Hey, listen, just straining, period, okay?
Okay.
I was pulling a lug nut like that in my hair, you know what I'm saying?
Oh.
You know what I mean.
So the title of today's podcast episode is called Sober Problems.
Okay. What's that? What's a sober problem?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Like, a lot of times when we have conversations, you and I, or
yep,
any of us in recovery, and we talk to each other, mm-hmm, I always think, you know, it's hard because I do so many podcasts. I'm always like on the phone with someone and we're talking, and then I think, oh, this would make a really good
podcast. That's all I podcast. Say. That's yeah. all I say now. Every time we talk, I'm like, dude, man,
we should be recording.
I wish we could record that. Yeah.
So I thought, you know, today, why don't we just take the veil off?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's two people watching, me and you. Probably.
Thanks. No, Zachary's here.
Oh, Zachary. Yeah, he was.
Sup, man. That's what he says.
So let's just take the veil off, man. Let's have a real ass conversation.
All right, I'll do my best, dude.
HBO style.
All right.
Where we just talk about the real.
All right, I'm down with that.
We've joked about on social media, we see people who go, you know, they have like that before and after picture, and it's like in addiction, it was horrible, but now I'm sober and everything's fucking great. And it's like, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Everything's great now? Because I'm still an alcoholic. Somebody that, I think you follow Pat Ridge on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
My band used to do shows with him.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Back in the day. And he's really good at documenting everything that goes on in his life. And he's alcoholic, sober 15 years, 16 years, something. And he does a good job of documenting kind of the continual mental health issues that we as addicts and alcoholics continue to deal with. You know, the compulsion, the self-obsession, the compulsion of self, the, you know, king baby shit, the, you know, all that stuff that... You know, we don't, when we're doing our thing here, we're usually sharing someone's story and we're trying to give
some insight
and some hope.
Some love.
And so that's probably why we don't talk about like some of the real shit that goes on as being in sobriety, because you know, you don't want to give the wrong impression.
No, yeah, ultimately you're trying to paint a picture that's really ultimately like good. And when you discuss, you know, real life stuff, man, it's hard to expose the difficulties and things like that, because that's number one, that's not necessarily what you want people to see about you. That's not the image you necessarily want to portray. You know, talking about this, I remember you on your stories one time, like doing a story of like you and Leslie, like really, like literally getting into it and trying to document that.
Yeah.
And that was like, I was like, whoa, this boy, he wild. Yeah. He's really doing that.
Yeah.
For real. That was something else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, so what I will do is I'll do my best to tell you, I guess, like the things that I go through without like a rainbow over the top of it, maybe.
And more without, realer. And without incriminating anyone.
Yeah. I'll try my best not to blame somebody for that.
Yeah.
For what's going on with me.
So let's start first. Okay. I'll start first.
All right. Go ahead.
And it's not a bitch session.
No. Let's just take the veil off, like you said, dude.
Okay, this is not a bitch session,
right?
But my wife. There's no greater relationship in my life that is the simultaneously the source of joy and happiness.
Yeah.
And absolute freaking pain.
Okay.
And
what's painful?
Her not doing what I think she should do. Mm-hmm. Not living up to my expectations.
Oh,
yeah.
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 Do you now when you're in the moment of that, you're not thinking you're not living up to my expectations.
Right? No, I'm like, I'm blinded by
my
expectation. I don't even like know, or maybe a little bit of me knows. It's kind of like, bro, like you're going off, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, like I'm going through 12 steps now and with codependency and, you know, it's really interesting that CODA stuff, because it's so ingrained in my psyche since before I started using drugs and alcohol.
Yeah. This is, before the egg of addiction hatched.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of it is like, it's just control. It's punishing people for not doing what I think they should do or living according to what I think they should live. And that relationship is the biggest example of both my victories and my losses, you know, because it's almost like the more that I accept and just let it go.
Right.
The more that I just say, it is what it is.
Radical acceptance.
Yeah. You know, but then I'm left with, like, you know.
It's not a joyful feeling, man. That's something that you have to deal with, dude. You got to suffer with that. That
it's acceptance. Like, can't I be right once?
Right. Don't you hear? Didn't you? Didn't you hear me?
This great case that I just made for why I'm right and you're wrong.
Yeah.
But the thing is it's such an emotional, it's such an emotional like thing. It really like the anger that comes out of that. And it's not her, you know, her fault. This is my own continual sobriety. It's like, I can get so angry, so pouty, so self-pitying, and I can fall into these little holes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then I'm responsible alone to dig myself out of it. Now, I don't mean I do that by myself, but the responsibility to get out of it is my responsibility.
Right. It's like, you definitely have a responsibility to clean your side of the street and be accountable to whatever, you know, confrontation, whatever that is. But I think there's always two sides of the story, you know, like as a husband, and especially speaking about this, right? You're already leaning towards, hey man, this is my, you know, you don't want to, it's hard to in conversation not take like over accountability, of it. Oh, because I did.
Right.
It's my thing. You know, I have a friend that does that all the time. It's like, oh, it was because of me, and I did that. But I think in actuality, in all these things, and all these kinds of confrontations, it's always two people. A marriage and a relationships in general are with more than one person.
Yeah.
But ultimately, all you can do is clean your side of the street in the resolution of it. In reaching for the resolution.
Reaching in the resolution of myself.
Yeah.
Because I can't fix the problems of our relationship.
Right.
But I have tried.
Yeah, to do it all, right?
Through my whole sobriety, I've tried to exert my will upon two humans rather than saying, all I really have control over is to exert my will over myself.
Yes,
to a large degree, because the problem is when you've stayed sober for a while and you get the revelation that you're an asshole, you don't have alcohol to blame.
Uh-uh.
Drugs aren't the problem anymore. Dope man not picking up ain't the issue. You have to go, oh shit, it's me.
Yeah,
that's humbling.
It's big, dude.
Yeah.
You know, I think that I love this conversation because, you know, if our intent on the Most High Show is to really end the stigma of addiction, right? And end the stigma of like God and these other things, I think this is a conversation, right? That is shared. I don't care if you've ever drank a beer. If you are in a relationship and you're having communication issues, you know, you don't have to be like recovering to be obnoxious. You don't have to be in recovery to have a huge ego or be quick to anger, be frustrated, want things your way, my way or the highway type of attitude, all these like character defects that we all share, regardless if you ever picked up or anything. But I think in all actuality, in recovery, I think you might have an advantage in those areas because we actually deal with these things and talk about these things and discuss these things almost on a daily basis, probably. Every part of our life is about trying to fix our defects of character.
Yeah. Right? Well, and like we had a conversation today, you know, like yesterday was the first day, first time in 11 years that I've sent my resume out to somebody.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of entering more into this coaching group facilitator role,
right,
and less of the media services and business and development kind of stuff that I'd been doing before. And so it was the first time that I'd sent a resume out. And I was telling you, which it felt like a failure.
Right. It embarrassed me. I feel like I'm taking 10 steps backwards.
Yeah.
Right.
Because
you've been an entrepreneur basically like for a long time.
And
now.
It's not you've that I'm not. Boss. I'm still an entrepreneur.
Right.
I'm not like getting
but
a job somewhere.
But you have to
somewhere.
Do the process of actually.
It's just like submitting a proposal to a company, right? It's the same situation. Mm-hmm. But my internal world is constantly needs to be managed on some level. And sometimes it's going to require me having a conversation with you or a few other men that are in my life who I can have these kind of conversations with, which is something that in the rooms someone might say, that's outside issue. But to me, there's no outside issue. Because something that I may think is small as this little thing, which made me mildly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But if I let that sit and fester, it can grow into feelings of self-doubt. It can grow into self-pity.
It can grow in you quitting to even no follow-through.
Right.
Right, or something that you really want to do, that you feel pushed by God, like that you feel like this is might be, you know, this new thing that I'm entering it's exciting, it's necessary, it's helpful.
Yeah.
It's like doing, in my opinion, doing the will of God. You know, this the trajectory of your life is going this way.
Yeah.
And you're good at it. But this one thing, if you don't discuss it, they say, yo, okay, well, go ahead and, you know, go ahead and you can, you know, email us your resume. And you're like, email my resume. I'm a boss. I've been doing this. You must have not. Listen, just get the app. All right, I'll show you what I'm doing in recovery.
There's my resume.
Yeah.
Go to my website.
Yeah. In fact, this is the one that's a little bit better than your website, but just look over it. You know what I mean? Like your ego, you know what I'm saying? So that could stop that if you don't discuss it and like face it and like give it up, because it's an effort to give that feeling of like, I feel like I'm a chump like doing this. I feel like I'm going backwards in this, and like being able to discuss that with somebody that cares about you.
Yeah.
Is encouraging to go over that hump.
It's to get the other side of the perspective, yeah. Which was, you know, something that I knew, which is why I just did it, right? The yeah. reason why I just jumped on it and did it was because I was having that internal dialogue.
Yeah.
Of this is just the process. Mm-hmm. You know, it's tattooed on my arm, humility before honor.
Amen. You know, yeah,
just yeah. go through the process. But this is the thing that I find very common with alcoholics and addicts is my buddy Curtis said, we're extreme humans. Mm-hmm. So where something like that might feel very just mildly uncomfortable for someone, they do it and they're done, they're gone, they move right. on. But for some of us as alcoholics, it seems like we are kind of on 10 with a lot of shit.
Mm-hmm. Super sensitive. And especially when it comes to like anything, I think that can be a challenge, okay? Because challenges and things that are difficult is a great excuse to go use, man. And that's how we handled, at least that's how I handled many things that like came across me that was tough. Like, you know,
yeah.
like one thing about like my being sober that I really have to face that I've like, I don't know, accepted and like I'm cool with now is like my limitations too, you know what I mean? Like I can live in my head and think I'm Superman or some shit, you know what I mean? But in sobriety and recovery, I've learned to like deal with my real self, you know what I mean? That's kind of off subject. I'm sorry I even said that. I don't know, man.
Is it off subject?
Maybe it is, but I'm just saying it's when it comes to challenges as an addict in recovery, yeah. there's always somewhere in all this, there's like a ding.
Yeah.
Or you can just go buy an 8-ball. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
For real. It right. doesn't have to be a big thing to turn you out. Something could just make you mad, man.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it doesn't have to be... I spent a long time in my recovery where I was miserable. Uh-huh. And I never got high. Uh-huh. But I was miserable. And I was dysfunctional. And I had a lot of addictive behaviors. Uh-huh. But I wasn't getting high. So I felt like, well, as long as I don't cross that line, I'm okay.
Yeah.
You see,
as long as I don't use.
As long as I don't use.
I'm doing
You know, it. But then here's this other dysfunctional behavior, whether it be consistent resentment, living in anger, not facing reality, mm-hmm. not dealing with things I need to deal with, which can lead to depression, which leads to all kinds of just, you know, just not well.
Yeah.
So it's like the idea that, and we spend a lot of time when we're doing this show, we talk about, because we're telling people stories, and we're really kind of like feeling like maybe we're on this front line, that maybe we're trying to be helpful. You know, and so we kind of stay in this focus of like, just don't get high, right? Because yeah. in the beginning, you know, like, you know, those first 30, 60, 90, some people a year, it's the focus is just don't get high.
Right.
Right. We'll deal with you being an asshole as long as you're not getting high.
Just don't lose.
After a while, you know, it's like you're going to need to start dealing with the asshole inside.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what we're talking about here, because we've met those dry drunks mm-hmm. who are miserable,
mad,
but they haven't had a drink in 34 years. But you don't
just
want
to working quietly somewhere. And like every time they grab some, it's a grabbing like this. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They're internally, you know, because they're not dealing with themselves ultimately.
Yeah.
You're not dealing with it, man.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing that's so frustrating is that they're choosing not to escape. They're choosing not to do the thing that really medicated all their character defects for so long.
Right. You know what I'm saying? It's the worst. There's nothing worse than being sober and miserable.
Oh, man.
It's horrible.
It's bad.
It's horrible. And it takes more digging to get out of that hole.
It really does. And it, you know, I was just recently talking about like conflict resolution, like how do you, and I said, dude, I'm telling you right now, you know, if you really want to bring resolve to like a confrontation or a conflict, no matter how you twist it and turn it, dude, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's exhausting. Like when I go through, you want to see me give a hard 8 hours of sleep. Let me actually get to the resolution of like a problem with my wife and I, like even somewhere on the same page, I will pass out. Like you have to wake me up and I don't sleep well, but I sleep really good after.
Because of the effort you put forward to get it.
It's hard, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, I can like smoke that away.
Right.
Easily. You know what I mean? But it gets worse. You know, that's the fact.
Yeah.
Things just get worse, man.
Yeah. So, other things about sober problems.
Yes.
All right. You know, and not the cliche things about being at a party and everyone's drinking and, you know, you want to drink and no, it's like, the other thing that I think for me personally has always been a primary thing has been finances, right?
Money. That money is funny, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's like that financial security
and
financial insecurity. That's the other thing where it's like for me to live these principles out in my life, it means that I'm going to have business practices that consider God in my business practices. Mm-hmm. That I don't get to say just because this is a business deal that I don't, that the principles of honor, love, respect, tolerance, helping another person, growing, to me, those principles have to still be in play. That doesn't mean I'm not going to make money or I'm not going to be successful.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that because it's business and money that all of a sudden it's devoid of some spiritual influence.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
You know, that's a tough thing to deal with. And that's like a recovery. I would consider that not a sober problem.
Yeah.
Because you can be a sober dude and cut throats to get what you need to get. Mm-hmm. Taking all whatever, you know, taking your spirituality right out of the whole equation and just doing you, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, so I think that subject is almost promoted in our society. It's like, get over, man, and get the bag.
Yeah.
Get over and get that. You know, oh, and then, like, you know, if you mentioned how you turned this corner and you did it like that, it was like, oh, where, for real? You did that? Right. That's wild. You know what I mean?
Right. You get big up.
Yeah. So, you know, I feel like, you know, like on that subject, besides like making ends meet and the frustrations of doing that and the anxiety that comes with that and like, you know, like, you know, I'm a married man and doing it together comes with huge obstacles. You know what I'm saying? Like, you see it one way, I see it this way. We're not meeting the same page. And like, you know, the anxiety of getting it together. And in my head, it's like, you know, somewhere in my, like, in my spirituality, I think I kind of use it against me because I want to, like, ultimately, I'm always trying to, somewhere in my head, I'm trying to show God that I appreciate everything he's given with me. So I built up an anxiety in me that I've got to like cover these economical, you know.
You got to pay the bill?
I got to do that, right.
Yeah.
And I got to do it to show respect for me.
Right.
And I got to do it like smart. I have to, you know, do it with respect. And I got to like always show, you know, thank you. You know what I mean? And if it doesn't work out that way, it really turns me upside down, that part. Now,
when you say turn you upside down, and this is where we're talking about the emotional and the mental obsessions that we alcoholics have, that it turns you upside down, meaning it'll eat your lunch. It'll pull you out of the moment. I'm not projecting.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. You're describing me to a T. It pulls me out of the moment. I don't think right. I'm upset. I'm mad. I'm not present. And I carry that around with me. Like it's really hard to get that part from here and to compartmentalize it back here and carry on my day. Because because to me, like, you know, I mean, like, this is why money is funny, right? Because it's like, I don't consider myself a material dude. Hmm. I don't consider that. Like these things that I have like acquired in my life, is I don't believe it's been like through any like hustle of mine. I think it's all been through God like blessing me. You know what I mean? And the anxiety, but when I react to the tough times, man, it's like, dude, I'm not even like following. You know, yeah. Come on, man. If the bird
right.
is eating, why are you sweating it?
Right.
You know, and I go into my own head of like things not working out the way that I want them to be. And then the first thing I do is I become defensive. Don't be defensive, dude. Yeah. Like, don't try to justify yourself, dude. Justificate it.
Either one of those.
Don't be justificating. Whatever. You know, so, you know, it's difficult. And I tell everybody, money is funny. Like, in sobriety, when you first get, dude, I'm telling you, we just talked about this at the with Dean. Yo, man, when you want to see an obstacle of somebody, like, really trying to get sober and like use a great excuse. Yo, man, they took half my check, man. At the sober living, they took half your check. Well, wasn't you in a trash can before you got here? Literally in a trash can.
Right. Yeah.
And now you know what I mean.
Now so, you worry about this too.
But you know, but again, man, like you know, somebody works hard and that stuff gets taken away and it like stings their pride and they feel like they're broke. They feel like they're never gonna make ends meet. I mean, all those worries, man, they're like legit, real world issues, man.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. One of the things that really really threw me for a loop but helped me to grow was in early recovery, I read this book called The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And it's a book, it's a Christian book, but it talks about how the disciple exists in the marketplace. And it talked about that the disciple is going to always prioritize relationship over getting money. Essentially, I'm totally paraphrasing.
No, I get it, dog. I get what you're saying.
Because relationship is the thing that's going to make us the best of the best service to helping somebody in their soul tending or whatever. Mm-hmm. At least this is what, according to that book, right? Mm-hmm. But because I'm an alcoholic, I'm an extremist. So it's like I can take that little bit of information and go to this other extreme of like, you know, like this vow of poverty, you know, that means that I can't ever, you know. And so, but when I really look back at the course of, you know, the last 10 years, seven of which really, I think almost eight of which have been independent, right? Either I'm running my own business or I'm running this nonprofit, right? Since I've employed that kind of mindset towards business, towards ministry, that I'm a part of this kingdom thing, we have never gone without.
Amen.
Never gone without. Every, you know, and you go from 2 weeks at a time to where it's like, you know, I live in 30 days at a time, you know, which some people don't get to live 30 days at a time.
You know, that is like the facts of your life, right?
Yeah.
But it's like I always say, I want to meet God in the present of my troubles.
Yeah.
Because I don't like going through the present of my troubles and then have to reflect on the last 10 years of my life, because that's the fact. But for some reason, with me personally, those things, like I can relate to that, but it doesn't take, you know what I'm saying? Like these money woes away from me. You know, honestly, like, dude, when I graduated from college, right, I thought that I was going to be rich.
When you graduated.
When I graduated.
Like, walk off the stage
I'm so green of life that I was like, pictured me like this.
Yeah,
I'll take that. Well, how much? Okay, I'll take it. I thought it was going to be like that.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to be in the heart of Atlanta working with all that, you know, all the diversity that Atlanta had to offer and putting my input in. And this degree was really going to take me over the top economically. And I was just, nobody's calling me back. And like, you know, my wife is trying to like get me into reality. Like, no, you know, hey, you know, this doesn't, you know, just be cool. It doesn't really work like that. And I was so frustrated because at the same time, I thought I was going to be making so much money that I was making it then, you know, not like rich. I was like, thought it was going to be easier, better quality. And I was failing. And I'm telling you that this is the truth. And that was like, I think the end of 2018 or the beginning of 2019, that when I came to, I said, man, like, I'm so obsessing over like this money thing. It's like, man, when I was in prison, my big prayer was, Lord, like, help me be helpful. Allow me to be helpful. And I said, the next thing that I do, I'm doing, I don't care what it is, I'm doing it of service. I want to be of service. I want to be helpful. And almost like, you know, in a God, and I know it's a God way, man. In a God way, I spoke to Leslie and I got on the show back then. And that really tipped the scales. Like, yo, I'm hanging. Hello, I'm here today. I still rock out with you, you know, because my intention was to get here and to be of service because I really loved what you guys were doing and I loved the message that you guys were giving. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yo, man, I'm like, I ain't going to be, you know, I'm just going to do this. And then what happened just with that sincerity of like me wanting to do service and like to let God take over, dude, like my relationship with you has like brought my professional life to a whole, to a level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, I think,
that's what's hard to wrap your mind around, that if you keep, and, you know, I have these conversations with people who are, you know, twice the amount of recovery time in recovery that I have, you know, and what they say is it's like, keep doing the right thing, keep giving back, keep like doing the next right thing, and good intention is basically like you keep with the good intention. Your intention is to do good. You keep like one step in front of the other with good intention, and this thing is going to, things are going to turn around.
It might not look like what you like, the portrait, the painting that you've already painted in your head, but like from what I painted in my head to where, how I'm living today, there is so much, it's so much better.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. You know, and I'm far from like rich or anything like that, but I am like, my soul is happy with the stuff that I, with my sober problems, like I do not want to use today because of the problems that I face on a daily basis.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Let me ask you a question.
All right.
So you don't want to use.
Yeah.
But how often do you think about, like, does the, I, like, I don't say, how do I work? It's like, it's not like you're obsessing over it or you want to do it, but that the thought pops into your head.
Okay. Now, if I go through a feeling like that, right? The only thing I can relate to that, and it's not for me to use like a substance. You know what I'm saying? What has been attracting me lately, and I don't think it's just out of interest, is to do some like crazy shrooms or something like that and really dig into
DMT experience.
Yeah, like a DMT, 15-minute DMT.
Lick the frog.
You know, try to get with Tyson.
Yeah.
And like, you know, those types of things just really sparks interest in me because I experienced a lot with hallucinogens, but it never, it's like now there's like this medical, you know, like psychological, you know, things are happening. And my interest is like, man, could this like take me to the next level spiritually? So my intention isn't because of a problem. My intention, like to think about using a substance, is because out of interest. Like I never, I wasn't using when people were vaping oils. You know what I'm saying? So I think about that. Like, so I'm, you know, and I.
Right.
I think about those things, but I don't necessarily think I get an urge.
It's like, I never had orange flavored Zima. Wonder what that tastes like.
or like the intensity now of the grade of marijuana sparks interest in me. I'm like, damn, dude. Like,
yeah, right.
You know, what is that?
Like floating in the cosmos of one puff.
Yeah. So that, I get those kinds of feelings sometimes. But very rarely, I can't really think of like frustration or life's or my sober problems like even like leaning me towards that as an option.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, and hey man, my antennas are always up though.
Right.
Like, that's not be, that's far from beyond me. Like,
right.
Listen, if you should not be that surprised if something took me over the edge and I'd have to go get a white chip.
Right.
You know, hopefully that would happen. I'd be able to go get a white chip with it because I got some tools. I've acquired some tools over the years, right? But I've never, and not recently, I can't think of an urge.
Yeah. Because that's the difference. Like, it's like an urge as opposed to like a thought.
Yeah.
You know?
And I talk to a lot of people that have thoughts that got some clean time. And they'll call me, damn, I just had this thought, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, like I was going to a meeting down in Florida, and I drove down this little neck of the woods, and there was a bunch of, you know, people kicking it on the block. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's where you get the perico right here. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then I'm like, but it's not just that thought. It's always the thought is like, it's a split second, right?
Yeah.
But this visualization of, okay, you can go talk to that guy. Then that guy drives you
around the corner. How it's going
to
go down.
And you go to do this. And it was like a split second.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's different from an urge. I didn't have the urge to do that. I'm on my way to a meeting. That's what I had the urge for, was to be with my people. But the thought... And it was interesting because, like, sometimes I think, man, am I the only one who thinks about this shit sometimes? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, or like I went with Leslie to my wife to a birthday party, and it was at a brewery. And, you know, they got the whole rack of things.
It's looking nice.
And I'm just going, man, wow, beer would be cool right now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not an urge or a craving. You know, but then it's such an automatic thing for me now where I go, a beer would be nice. But I know if I caught that buzz, I would go, this ain't enough. Yeah. Because when I'm more of a drug addict. You know, I was talking to Jeff earlier today. I was telling him that I'm more of a drug addict. I want my brain to be completely obliterated.
Yeah.
I want to escape from reality as fast as possible. And so it's like if I can figure out something that'll help me escape. Right.
Yeah.
Then I want that.
Yeah.
Right. But as I continue to stay sober, it's this concept of self soothing. Mm-hmm. Right. In a healthy way.
Right.
Right. Not reaching on the table. Self soothing. Like self.
Oh, whoa.
See that? We dropped the sign.
He was self. This, you were self soothing.
This conversation's getting too real. The sign dropped. But the concept of self-soothing, which is, as you continue on this, as I've continued on this path, learning how to self-soothe, learning how to close
that.
My eyes, take a breath in, breathe out, say a prayer, realize that I'm connecting myself to stuff that doesn't matter, right? Or won't matter in a day.
Right.
Definitely won't matter in a year. And then being able to talk myself down from that ledge. And that, I think, is a gift of continual deepening of sobriety, which is a spiritual journey. And to where it's like, I'm not always making those calls, right? Like, I knew yesterday when I had that resume thing, I knew I should probably tell somebody something here, you know? But for the most part, when I'm facing things, I'm learning how to self-soothe. Mm-hmm. I'm learning like, hey, what are the tools that are available to me internally? How do I get myself, talk myself back down? Like even the idea that you have the ability to let go of anger.
Yeah.
Which took me years to even say out loud. But that whatever it is in me, whatever my higher self is, the true self, the spirit, the God in me or the God me, I have the ability to say, I don't have to carry the anger. I can let it go.
I mean, you know, like that's so cool because at the beginning of what you were saying, the self-soothing was to like take you down from a feeling or a thought of like, looking at alcohol or something like that. Hey, I'm not a, a drinker, you know, I do dope. I mean, I do coke, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So and somewhere in your makeup, there you're saying, you know, I could drink because that's not really my twist.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I had experience with that.
Yeah.
That's what I quit for a long time. And then I started drinking.
Yeah.
And then I started doing dope again. So that's why, you know, in 2011, when I went to rehab, I was like, I can't drink.
Right.
Because I have evidence that the cycle is, I might be okay for a few months, but eventually I'm going to want to obliterate myself. So I just don't drink. I don't because it's not worth the gamble.
Right. But what I was like referring to was like the self-soothing part. So at the beginning you're talking about, and I think this is a big advantage of people in recovery that's really working like the steps, you know, searching and doing all those types of things. I think, you know, what you related to, the self-soothing practice that you do to get you out of like these that thought process, right, to get you back into reality. Now you started taking it to anger.
Oh, like, I can all use of the this emotional thing.
Yeah, so that's the advantage of recovery, because that is an answer to a lot of life's problems when you're dealing with your character defects, when you're dealing with your anger, you know, your jealousy, envy, all these things that spark something in you that's definitely a sharp negative. You know, self-soothing is a freaking known tactic to get you through that, at least for that moment, you know what I mean? Until you can deal with it in a deeper process. But that's not just a sober thing. That's a life thing, dude. And I think in that way, people in recovery have got a better grip on how to deal with life's problems than an average person that doesn't have, that never looks at their issues or anything like that at all. You know, I see on social media right now, I like what's the information part of social media right now when it comes to health and wellness, is that they will put the problem. Oh, you have anxiety because of this, 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 and this. Mm-hmm. You're anxious. Oh, depression. Boom, 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 boom. They give you the information that like that could, gives you that title of this problem that you might be facing. They don't give no freaking resolution, bro.
Right.
So then now, you know, especially I can only imagine like the youth, they it's easy. Like I know teenagers, man, that are looking for a diagnosis, bro. You know, I think I'm this. I think I'm that, right? Because there is like, now this is what I do. This is why I'm like this. But nobody's giving. Yeah. Like, okay, because, you know, you're facing these issues in your life, I think this is a good way, you know, you can deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, there's not very little of that.
And that's why what we do with coaching and you do with counseling is so important, because these things have to be teased out. Because if you're a high schooler and you have a test coming up, being a little anxious about that is the appropriate response.
Yeah.
If you're a full-blown adult and you lose your job, right?
Mm-hmm.
Being low, being down, being a little depressed and feeling anxious about how this is all going to work out is humanity.
Actually, it's actually the freaking motivation that's going to get you to like write and all that stuff. It's going to get you to study. It's going to get you to, I got to go get a job, man.
Right. I got to get on this.
But if you're like under the covers and you have the covers up to here and you're like curled up and like just staring at the walls because of this whole thing, and it's so overwhelming that you can't move.
Right.
You need to come talk to Dave and we'll work it out. We'll do something about that. You know what I'm saying? And that happens. You know what I mean? So you'd like you give this description of all these psychological issues that people have in sobriety, right? Man, there's help for those things.
You know the difference between an alcoholic and an addict?
What's that?
I mean, an alcoholic and a normal person.
What's that?
So an alcoholic, a normal person gets a flat tire on the freeway and they call AAA. An alcoholic gets a flat tire on the freeway and they call a suicide hotline.
This is really, I'm on the freeway right now and I don't know, man. The tire's flat.
It's flat.
Cars are passing fast.
Yes, right.
I'm done.
It's, but dude, that's what I'm saying. Like sober problems.
Yeah.
Because, and like, to kind of go full circle, which is time just letting us know we're rounding down the show.
Yeah.
But to go full circle to this guy like Pat Rich, who's documenting these problems, these arguments that he has with his wife, and he puts that camera up there, and he's documenting that, dude, as an alcoholic and an addict, we are extremists, and we're going to have these emotional highs and lows, and we're going to face things, and things like a flat tire or things like financial insecurity or relationships are going to push us into emotional turmoil that we have to acknowledge is the case. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with us. It just is more, it's just more like still more spiritual development.
Absolutely.
Still keep growing. Still keep doing the right thing. Still keep giving back. Still answer the call when someone needs it, needs some help, right? Yeah. Still keep doing the right thing, even when it doesn't feel like the right thing.
Absolutely.
Because as you continue on the journey, those responses become more and more manageable, right?
Yeah,
and
man.
And the absence of them or the fact that they exist in your life doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with you or your recovery or anything.
Or you're just like, you know, you're never going to be good enough or it's never going to work out. I mean, those are real things that people face in sobriety. Like, it's never going to happen. It's never going to work. And those defeatist attitudes, man, are so poisonous, man, because, you know, it builds resentment and confusion and sadness and depression and anger, all those negative things, man. But I do want to, like, I feel like I should, you know, ever since you said you want to take the veil off, I do want to be, like, brutally honest about my life and the things that I face presently, right? Like, so, like, and I will bring this full circle. Like, so, you know, like, recently I faced tremendous loss, dude. Recent, it's happening, right? Right now, like, my financial situation isn't ideal, bro. I'm digging. We're digging right now, man, to get this right. Okay, we're digging. Okay, you know, my relationships, you know, with the people that I love the most, man, they are not full of freaking rainbows, dude. They are difficult. They are hard. Man, there is crying. There is fierce anger and all those things, dude, that I face in my life, you know. Today I posted that, and this, it's not just shit about me. I'm not just talking. I'm just the people that are close to me, too. You know, there's a other side that's suffering just as well as I am through many aspects of my daily life, right? But, like, today, man, the cool-ass dude proposed to my daughter. So, you know what I mean? Like, man, it's like an uplifting thing for all those involved that are close to that. It's like a lifted thing, right? So those ups and downs and all those things that I'm facing in my life, and to bring it full circle, dude, like, there is no way in the world that I know 100% with all the stuff, the hardships and the loss and the difficulties that I'm facing financially, in my relationships, you know, in my professional life, all those things, dude, there is no way that I want to use today because of those problems, dude.
Right.
I am so grateful and blessed that God is in my life, and, like, I'm not picking up and I'm not making all those difficulties, difficult things that I'm speaking of, I am not making them worse. And I am not a burden to the hardships that are going through, not just with me, but with people that I love. I'm actually freaking kind of helpful in those things. I'm going to be a part of the solution of, like, of getting us, you know, with my partner, getting us to, you know, where we once were, like, in finances. We're working towards bettering, you know, our relationship, our partnership, my relationship with my kids, man. It's an ongoing thing, dude, and it's not easy. But thank God, man, like, it's the biggest blessing in the world that I'm doing that shit, and I'm sober while I'm freaking trying to deal with that, bro.
Right. Might not want to get high. I might want to shake the shit out of
somebody. I might
want to
like kick some shit.
I might want to put a hole in the wall.
I might want to just headbutt you in the face. But I'm cool. I ain't gonna use, baby.
I might drive this car into a telephone pole. But
I might wrap this thing a couple times.
But I'm not gonna
but
get
But I'm good. I'm good.
I might take a poop in the middle of a Waffle House, but I'm not getting high.
Absolutely.
I might kick the cat.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not getting high.
Yeah. I'm not going to use today.
By any means necessary.
But for real, like, I am like so blessed, man. And I think the a big perspective that recovery gives you is the perspective of gratitude, bro,
yeah,
for whatever you're facing in life, because, man, you're doing life, dude, yeah, regardless of the obstacles, man.
Right. It is. That's what it is.
That's it.
You know, it's the yin and the yang.
It's the balance,
you
know? Bro.
And you have those down, those dark moments, and then you have this bright moment.
Yeah.
And to think that one doesn't exist without the other, you know, and it is what it is.
It is what it is, baby.
Yeah.
You think we made sense on this whole?
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Jeff, do we make sense, dude? Or was it a bunch of goobly gobs?
I've stopped trying to process this a long time ago.
No, man. Thank you so much, bro. I like in-house stuff, dude. I just, you know, regardless, if I'm sitting here at this table, dude, man, and I know I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing the next right thing, hanging out with you and giving something to the people, man. And, you know, close it out. Did we do, where we at?
We were about there.
All right. You want to do a break, come back, close?
No, you could just run that last media item to close us out. But before we do, let's do like we normally do. So for the person.
Yes, where am I looking over here, right?
Yeah, well, I'll go first.
All right, go ahead.
All right, so I'm going to go first, yeah. Jeff. So if you are in sobriety and you're struggling and things don't look the way you think they should look, it's your own fault. So get with it. Get with the solution. Call your boy. Call David.
Yeah.
Go to a meeting. Call somebody. You're going to be all right.
That was freaking
David, great. What you got to say?
All right. Check it out, folks. Man, I hope you enjoyed the episode, right? And I think the takeaway is, man, you know, there's a lot, you know, we call it sober problems, right? And I think one aspect of sober problems is just what sober people deal with, right? And us as addicts, I think a big part of killing the stigma of addiction is dealing with life on life's terms and like really pushing through the obstacles and really discussing the ways you get through those things. And I think that's what we try to give you guys today. You know, we appreciate you guys tuning in. If you don't have the Most High app, download it. You can download it on your Google Play or your Apple, whatever. We're on Spotify. We're on every social media platform. Please get the app. It's documentaries. It's so much stuff, man, to help you, like, to help all of us live a better, more prosperous life, dude, and help, you know, ultimately we're trying to all get to this potential that God or our higher power has placed in front of us, man. We love you guys. We thank you for your time. We thank you for tuning in. And Cheyenne Cleobi, my oldest daughter, congratulations.
Hey.
My man Hunter, you are the man. I I'm so excited and happy for you both. And it just made me feel so good to be a part of it. Thank you. And we are out.